For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. The resurrection of the dead. The Bible teaches not only the immortality of the soul, but also the resurrection of the body. Every individual who has ever lived will be resurrected, some to honor and glory, and others to everlasting shame and contempt. There will be two resurrections. The first resurrection is that of all believers, the blessed and holy, individuals over whom the second death has no power. It corresponds with Jesus' teaching of the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of life. The first resurrection takes place in various stages. Christ was the first fruits of this resurrection. There was a resurrection of saints who rose from the dead after Jesus' resurrection, appearing to many in Jerusalem. There will be the resurrection of the dead in Christ at the Lord's return, and finally, the resurrection of the martyrs at the end of the tribulation. Since these are all believers, they are all considered part of the first resurrection. The second resurrection will take place at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. According to Revelation 20:11-15, all the wicked dead will be raised at that time to stand before the great white throne and hear the judgment of God pronounced upon them for sins committed during their lifetime. This resurrection is connected to the second death. It corresponds with Jesus' teaching of the resurrection of damnation. Those who are raised in the rapture will come forth from their graves and will receive their glorified bodies at that time, bodies that will be like that of the risen Christ, their Lord and Master. When the Lord appeared to his disciples following his resurrection, he was a real person, not a vague, intangible spirit. He ate, talked, reasoned, remembered, could be handled and felt, had flesh and bones, issued commands, and felt compassion for those about him. Yet he was not hindered by either space or barriers, entering rooms in spite of barred doors. He has promised that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The resurrection is the great hope of the Christian. It was also the hope of the Old Testament saints, and will be the finished redemption of the godly of all ages. The prospect of eventual resurrection is a supreme motivator. Paul the Apostle willingly suffered the loss of many things that he felt might hinder him. He died daily. He pressed toward the mark. He kept his own body under subjection, all that he might be counted worthy to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The soul does not sleep in the grave with the body. The soul is absent from the body after death takes place. It goes to a place of comfort and bliss if the life has been godly, or to a place of torment if the life has been sinful. Through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Paul wrote that it is better to be present with the Lord and absent from the body than to live here in the body but to be absent from the Lord. For him and all believers, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul expressed that he felt in a strait between two desires, being willing to live and carry on the work of God, but preferring to die and be with God forever. 2,000 years have elapsed since the resurrection of Christ, and yet the saints have not been raised. We do not know how many more weeks or months or years will elapse before that event. Just as there was an interval between the first fruits and the ingathering of the harvest in Old Testament times, so there is an interval between the resurrection of Christ as the first fruits and his people as the harvest. In this period of time, the true believer watches and waits, secure in his hope of eventual resurrection.